How many of you have traveled in the last year? How many have got? Yeah, we've got some travelers been out there doing things, maybe taking a car trip, maybe taking a train trip, maybe taking a plane, maybe even taking a bus or a Uber, whatever. But but the question is not how did you travel? It's what did you take with you? Did you take all your stuff with you? Probably not. But did you overpack? Oh, my, my. I can tell you that I've done a little traveling. And I have overpacked each and every time. I am in a contest with my wife to see who can put the most stuff in the bag. I'm not going to tell you in front of her who wins because I don't want to pay for it later. So, but you know what I have? I've packed my bags and then I've come home and I've taken clean clothes, put them back in my closet. I've taken books that were unread back on the bookshelf. Hats. I like hats, so I take a lot of hats. Last trip I went on, I didn't wear a hat. But I had them. I had them if I needed them. So I asked myself, why do I overpack? And the easy answer is, well, everybody does it. Everybody takes too much. You know, have you ever been on a plane where you see this person coming down the aisle? They've got a suitcase, a backpack, a paper bag, a purse. And they get to the overhead bin before you, and they fill the overhead bin. And then you say, how long are you going for? Overnight. It happens. It happens. You know, and we all think that we're going to need all of our stuff to keep us comfortable. And we almost have a fear or a phobia about not having the conveniences that we're familiar with. That familiarity of having our own stuff. Now, we know we do that. Let's flash back for a minute to the time when Jesus was sending out his disciples. In Mark chapter 6, verse 7 through 11, it says, and this is a quote right out of the good book, then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and give them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. And if any place will not welcome you, or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. These guys were told to go out, carry the gospel, dressed with a staff, a walking stick. That's it. That's it. Now you're sitting there thinking, well, it's kind of severe to be sent on a trip with just the clothes on your back. Well, that's not what we do. But there was a message. Jesus wanted his disciples to step out of their comfort zone and share the gospel with people who didn't know Christ. That's just what our group in the Philippines are doing. They're stepping out of their comfort zone, because I'm telling you, it's not comfortable over there. But they're stepping out to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Now, when Jesus sent the disciples out, he wanted them to do that also. To build relationships. To build relationships that were supportive. But I think the most important thing, the most important lesson that Jesus was trying to give to his disciples is to trust God. To trust him. Because he controls everything. He controls if you're going to eat, if you're not going to eat. He's got it all. Christianity teaches us that love and fulfillment cannot be found in our possessions and the distractions that they actually offer us, but rather love and fulfillment can only be found in relationships we build with others and with God. You know, we can lighten our load by leaving behind the physical baggage that we don't really need. We don't really need everything that we pack. But Jesus calls us to leave behind our emotional and spiritual baggage as well. Because the emotional and the spiritual baggage is really the most difficult to carry. The simple bag, it's not so much, but the spiritual and emotional baggage, it's difficult for us. And as we carry it, it keeps us from being close to God. You know, in preparing this, it was interesting to find a book by Max Lucado. It's called Traveling Light. And I'm going to read you a little part of that because I think he's spot on. So this is Max. Odds are you have bags in your hand right now. Somewhere between your first step out of bed this morning and your last step out the door, you walked over to the baggage carousel and you loaded up. Picking up a suitcase of guilt, a sack of discontent. You draped a duffel bag of weariness on one shoulder and a garment bag of grief on the other. Add on a backpack of doubt, an overnight bag of loneliness, and a trunk of fear. Pretty soon, you're juggling more luggage than a skycap. No wonder you're so tired. At the end of the day, carrying all that baggage is exhausting. We carry our emotional baggage the same way we carry so many possessions when we travel, because we're afraid to leave them behind, because they distract us from the bigger fears that might be out there and that we don't want to deal with. Because although they're heavy, they slow us. Over time, they become very, very comfortable and familiar. And we don't know how to move forward without them. Now, some biblical scholars say that the disciples were reluctant to set down their emotional baggage as well. The guilt they carried over leaving their loved ones, the fear of dangers that they could encounter on the roads, the uncertainty of not knowing if following Jesus was the chance of a lifetime, which it was, or a huge mistake. Some scholars seem to think that the disciples had some doubts. I don't know. I brought some of my luggage with me today. That's really a good bag. It can carry a whole lot. And it's not for sale. It's not. There's not going to be an auction at the end of the service. That's brand new. Hasn't even been broken in yet. But I brought it along. And it can carry a lot of anger. It can carry a lot of fear. It can carry guilt. It can carry hurt. And it can carry envy. But you know what? It can carry all that stuff. And a lot of us have a bag like this. But then, you open the big bag, and there's a little bag in there. That little bag is your secret stuff. That carries your secret stuff. Nobody can know about that bag, because in this bag is your hatred, your loathing, the real, real serious hurts that you carry. Nobody can see in there, because this bag protects it. Now, I know a little bit about these bags, because I used to carry in this bag hatred. And it chewed me up. And I hated a group of people for over 6 years. And I wanted to do them harm. I wanted revenge. But sitting in church, holding my wife's hand, I started to cry, and I gave it to the Lord. So my bag doesn't have hatred in it anymore. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I don't have other things in there. But that's not, it is what I'm talking about. It is what I'm talking about, because we carry this stuff and we hide it. Hello? God knows everything that's going on in your heart and your mind. I can only hide it from you. I can't hide it from him. Whether we carry it, our baggage, in a Samsonite or a paper bag, there isn't one thing that God doesn't know. You know, those same biblical scholars that talked a little bit about maybe the disciples had some anxiety, they also say that the disciples were also reluctant to let go of their spiritual baggage. You think, these are disciples. They knew Jesus. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But maybe, you know, most of those disciples had studied the law for years. And the religious beliefs that kept them, some of those religious beliefs kept them from really accepting Jesus Christ's message. Because there's a difference between the law of Moses and the love of Jesus Christ, the love that God poured down upon us. You know, they wondered what the Messiah was supposed to be. Was it really supposed to be this? Was Jesus really the Messiah? They had preconceived ideas about who was welcome in the kingdom of heaven. And their understanding of what they needed to do to earn God's love forgiveness, and grace. But this is the key. Jesus gathered up all the baggage that the disciples were carrying and set it aside. And in its place, he gave them a simple message to carry out unto the world. And here's the message. God loves you. God loves us all. And we are to love God and each other as we love ourselves. It is so simple. All the disciples had to do was walk into the world with their hands free and carry the message on their lips and in their heart. The message was intended to release people, the people of God, from the spiritual burdens that they've been carrying around for years. But as we know from reading the stories of the gospel, the people the disciples encountered were often reluctant. They were reluctant to believe what the disciples were saying. In the same way, sometimes we're reluctant to discard spiritual burdens, the religious baggage that we've packed up and carried over the course of our lives, the beliefs we've learned in our youth, or adhere to as adults that have done more to distance themselves from God than come close. And sometimes we believe we're too sinful and broken to be redeemed. Some people think that God's love and grace and forgiveness is offered only to a select few. You could also have the belief that we have no power to change the world, and we can only sit back and watch and pray to God that He changes it. You might have the belief that only those who follow our interpretation of the Bible and our conception of Jesus and His teachings will be allowed to enter the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot of baggage to be carried. And this type of baggage weighs us down and keeps us from the glory of God. Just as it feels good to clean out your closet, imagine how the feeling it would be if we pare down our spiritual beliefs to the simple message that Jesus gave to his disciples. That simple message that God loves you. God loves us all. That's so amazing because he loves us even if we don't love him. He loves us all. And we are to love God. He tells us we are to love him. And each other as we love ourselves. It seems kind of just counterintuitive to not want to get rid of what weighs us down. But letting go is not easy. Some of us have been carrying that baggage for so long that the handles have left a permanent mark on your hand. We feel that we leave these familiar burdens behind, that we'll lose part of ourselves, part of our identity. Our fear, our guilt, our uncertainty over the future, our restrictive religious beliefs can keep us sheltered and keep us safe. But this is what Jesus calls us to do. He calls us to set our baggage down at his feet, to release our burdens to God and carry only God's love into the world. Realistically, we won't be able to just let go of everything at once. But as we move forward, we can work on letting go of one burden at a time and trust our family, our friends, and God to help us release our grip on what we no longer need. With each burden that we do release, we come closer to understanding what it really means to truly feel God's love and what it means to reflect that love back into the world. We set out on an unknown road, caring only what Jesus has given us. The promise of God's grace, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and the compassion of Christ's presence. That's what we need. And as we grow into seasoned travelers, we will discover that that's all we need. You know, it's interesting. When Paul was struggling in 2 Corinthians and he called out to God, said, I have a thorn in my side. He asked three times. He asked three times for the Lord to remove it. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all of my most gladly, all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And if I, it's the book that starts with an E. FCs. Come on, Paul, tell us. Hey, he said it right. That's it. Ephesians. My wife has told me how to say this 16 times, but I can't get it. All right, you got it. Ephesians, right? Okay. 2:8. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God. Grace. Now, when I was getting ready to do this sermon, I'm thinking about grace. And my thought is that there is one of you in this room that really doesn't know what grace is. So because I've been going to a class here on studying and communicating the Bible, I found out that we have a library in here. And we have a dictionary. And the dictionary is the one I found. And you're impressed that I went in there and found it. I know you are. It's the Westminster Bible Dictionary. That's a big old book. And it's a good one. And it says, here's the definition of grace. Now, you know who you are out there that you don't really know what grace is. So here it is. Here's coming right at you. Right out of the good old Westminster. Grace refers to the unmerited and freely given redeeming action of God through Christ by which sin is forgiven and its power is broken. And believers are upheld and strengthened in their Christian life. Grace is free. It's freely given. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior has given it to you. So with your grace, with that breaking of sin, you can drop off some of your luggage at the feet of Jesus Christ and walk out strengthened, empowered, and feeling so good because you've taken that big step to walk closer to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.